I want you to open your Bibles with me, please. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. The 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I want to read some verses in the closing part of this 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, commencing to read at verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year, without blood or with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. The verse that God has laid on my heart afresh this evening is the verse number 27 of Hebrews chapter number 9. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Friend, it is tremendous to see so many people gathered in on the Lord's Day evening in an old gospel tent. And as you travel to this place, and as you journey to this tent meeting tonight, I'm sure perhaps some of you have pondered and have wondered about the journey of your life. You know, it's amazing how quickly time passes. No sooner does a mom and dad stand with a little one in their arms and they look for the first time upon that cherished little face. And friend, no sooner does it come, but the little one grows up and they pass through the days of babyhood and childhood. And they pass into young manhood or young womanhood. And the years, they quickly pass in the journey of life. It seems so quick from the day of their birth until the day that they leave the nest and they go out to start their own homes and they go out to start their own families. The journey of life is an amazing journey. We think of the meaning of life. Why did God place us here? Why did God give us birth? Why did God in his sovereign purpose form us in the mother's womb? Why did God so ordain that we would be born into this world? And God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. Can I ask you a question tonight? What is the purpose of your existence here? Why do you think that God has placed you in the meantime, and this little while on this earth? The Catechism says man's chief end, or the main and chief purpose of man's existence here, would be to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Yes, God has a purpose for your time in this old world, friend. But how quickly that time is passing through. We think of life not only in its meanings. We think of life and its mysteries. For every one of us understand that in life there are mysteries, things that we do not understand, the situations in our lives, friend, and we feel that if we were planning that they wouldn't be there, if we could only remove them, if only we had the power to change the circumstances, why wouldn't we do it? Because in life's journey there's a mystery. And friend, I know that as I travel through life and I think back over my earthly existence. There are things that I cannot understand. There are things that I don't know why, and there are times in life's experience we have bowed in God's presence. We have said, "Oh God, why? Oh God, why?" Maybe you look back over your life tonight, and there have been times, young person, that you have wondered why. Maybe mom and dad, there are times in your life whenever the trials and troubles of life are upon you, and you're walking through the mists of the life's journey, and you wonder the why, oh God, why? And friend, there's still the puzzle, for you cannot understand it. There's the mysteries of life's journey. Oh, but there's the miseries of life's journey. They're not only the days of laughter, but they're the days of sorrow. They're not only the days of joy, but you know, friend, there are days whenever you're down in the depths of despair. They're not only the days when the sun's shining and everything's lovely in the garden of life, friend, but be honest, you know too that life's experience, that there are the days whenever the shadows have fallen upon the sky of life, when the clouds have gathered and it seems to be that it's black up there, and it seems to be that it's black all around us, and the miseries of life are upon us. What a wonderful journey it is, the journey of life, friend. But you know, let me tell you, even at its longest, we're going to have to leave here. Men and women, let me tell you, you're not here forever. God didn't place you in this old world forever. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And friend, whenever we think of those days of childhood, and my memory comes rolling back, and we think of the days of boyhood, and remember the days of youth, and remember the days, my friend, whenever it seemed as if that life was going so quickly past, as it is even tonight, because it is only a vapor. It appeareth for a little, and then it vanisheth away. Friend, there's not a long distance between the cradle to the grave. For God has not made us for time, but God has made us for eternity. You remember that, friend? God didn't make you just for time. For when God formed you miraculously in your mother's womb, and God Himself, He gave you breath, and He breathed into your nostrils the breath of life, and you became a living soul. Remember this, that when God put the breath into your body, God breathed eternity into your heart. For God made you and me, friends, for eternity. Don't you forget, man, you're not here forever. Don't forget, woman, you're not here to stay. This world, it's not your home. You're just a passing through. It is appointed unto men once to die. I want us to think about that subject tonight. And the first thing I want you to remember, the problem of death. It is appointed unto man once to die. Isn't that a chilling reality? Friends, someday you'll be quiet in the coffin. Someday the body that once was active, that used to skip over the landscapes of time, it'll no longer move. Someday, the body that is warm with life, whenever your loved one puts their hand upon your brow, it's cold. There's a chill upon the frame. What is it? It's the chill of death. And friend, here is the promise, first of all, of death. It is appointed unto men once to die. In the book of Job, the man who experienced the trials and troubles of life, he said this, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." And then he went on to say in the 10th verse, "But," that's not at all, "but man dieth." Friend, that's plain, isn't it? Isn't that plain? "But
man dieth.
In the 30th chapter of the same book, he said these words. He says, I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed. Have you got it, friend? Job said, I know. There are things, friend, that I don't know. There are things that I will never know. But Job said this, I know. I have good knowledge of this fact. That thou, O God, that thou wilt bring me to death. Friend, do you know that tonight? Do you know that God will bring you to death? It's not that you'll run for it, friend. It's not that you'll want it. Necessarily. And yet God's word says in Job chapter 30, Job acknowledges this fact. He said, I know that thou God. You see, friend, listen. God will bring you to death. And to the house appointed. Listen to the words, friend. The house appointed for all living. You know what that's saying? It's saying that God's the one that's in control. It's saying that God's the one that's in control. That, friend, you're not the beginning of everything and the ending of everything. Why, sometimes it seems that it takes a lot of space for us, doesn't it? Let me tell you, friend, God's the boss. God's the sovereign one. Let me tell you, where were you when God breathed into you, friend? Let me tell you, when God formed you in your mother's womb, and you were faithfully and you fearfully, and you were wonderfully made, friend, let me tell you, it was God that knew you, you were formed. It was God that brought you forth. It was God, my friend, that gave your mother the strength and the help to bring forth that little child. And for the first time, they looked upon your frame and upon your form. Because unto that moment, friend, God himself knew all about you. And God's the one that not only gave you and me life, friend, and ordained the day of our birth. God ordained that day. And I think that's a wonderful thing. God ordained the day of my birth. And it's the same God that ordains the day of our death. You know that. You know that that same God, that sovereign God, has ordained already the day whenever you die. I know that thou will bring me to death. And that makes it very personal, doesn't it? See, it's always somebody else in the paper. You look in the death column in the paper in the morning, friend, and sure isn't it always somebody else? No, it's not. Somebody will read your name on it someday. Maybe this week. Because God will bring you to death. Whether you want or not. God will bring me to death and to the house appointed. Appointed. It is appointed unto man. The businessmen in this meeting tonight. And your diary's full. There's men that have responsibilities in life, friend, let me tell you. And you have your diary full for this week. You just tell you what you need to do. See, the start of this week, then, if God will. God will. You read in the book of James. And in that fourth chapter of the book of James, go to now. You say, I'll go into such and such a city, and I'll buy this, and I'll sell that, and I'll make gain. Wherefore thou knowest not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It's only a vapor that appeareth for little and then vanisheth away.
know what the Holy Ghost says? What you should say, if God will, I shall buy this or that. If God will, I shall go into the city.
If God will, I shall remain here. Because there is appointment that only God, who is sovereign, friend, has the right to make. In 2 Samuel chapter 14, it says, we all must needs die. We all must needs die. Well, there are men and women tonight, and let me tell you, that love to stay here forever. And it seems to be as if they think they're here forever. They're digging deeper and deeper and deeper into this world, friend. And they're getting older and older, and yet the older they're getting, they're still digging deeper for staying. Let me tell you, friend. Do you know that you were born to die? Do you know this fact? That the day that you were given birth, the first day that you took your first cry, friend, and you were laid down in that little cradle from the day you were born. Do you know this? That was the very day that you started to die. Not a very pretty picture, is it? But it's true. The day, my friend, listen, they look forward to your first birthday. Let me tell you, friend, it's only a hop, skip, and a jump until it's your 21st. And it's only a skip until it's your 51st. And some of you are 71st, and let me tell you, friend, maybe, and a few the 91st. But it's only a little way. It's only a little journey, friend. You know what God has promised you? We all must needs die. See, at the Lord's return, you and I, friend, you and I are going to leave this old world. Jeremiah the prophet was called of God to preach the word, and we were looking at him this morning in the church. And there was a false prophet, Hananiah. And the false prophet was given false prophecy to the people and to the peoples of Judah. And my, they were building their lives upon falsehood, emptiness. And God sent his prophet Jeremiah to Hananiah, and he said to him, listen, he said, this year, he says, thou shalt die. Notice the words, friend. He says, this year, thou, that's personal. He said, thou shalt, that's positive. He says, thou shalt die, that's plain. For we all must needs die. Some years ago, there was an old Bible blasphemer. His name was called Voltaire. And Voltaire, in his blasphemy, whenever they mentioned the name of Jesus Christ, he called the Savior one time. You know, some people are very foolish in their statements. And they think, you know, that God doesn't hear them and God doesn't listen to what they're saying. And friend, you see those idle words that they drop off the end of their tongue and they blaspheme God or they curse God or they just laugh at God. Let me tell you, friend, don't you be a fool. Do you know that God is in the book? Do you? See that wee glib phrase that you say to make you a big fella to some of your mates? Do you know that God has already had that in the book? For the day of judgment, whenever you'll stand before God and the books are open, friend, and the Bible says that every idle word that man shall speak. And that's what you're doing, friend. It was an idle word. And now you thought it made you big. It made you a big man. It made you tough. It made you a fool. Made you only a fool. And every idle word you'll give an account on the day of judgment. And Voltaire, whenever one day they were speaking to him about the Lord Jesus, Voltaire called Jesus the wretch. And he thought he was here forever. The last thought that he had in his mind, that one day God would take the vital cord of life and pull it. And God would say, this day thou shalt die. And the day came when Voltaire was lying down in sickness, friend. and the body was shaken in the winds of sickness and the winds of death, and they called his doctor. The doctor came in to Voltaire, the Bible blasphemer and the savior mocker. And he turned to his doctor, and this is what he said to him as the winds of death blew upon him. He says, "Doctor, I'll give you all I have. I'll give you all I own if you save my life for 6 months." That ungodly doctor looked in the face of Voltaire, and this is what he said to him. He says, "Friend, I can't even give you 6 hours." And here's the one that used to blaspheme Christ, friend.
Used to mock the Son of God. He took the lovely name of Jesus upon his lips, and he called him a wretch. Oh, how wretched was that soul when he begged for the doctor, "Doctor, I'll give you all I have if you'll give me 6 more months. And the doctor says, "I can't give you 6 hours. You know why, friend? Because God has the right to give. And God's got the right to take away. The promise of death." You know, friend, you can hardly leave that job, can you? Let me tell you, somebody else will sit in your seat. See that desk? Somebody else will write at it. See the tractor? You've hardly time, friend, to get to a gospel meeting, and there's people in this community, let me tell you, friend, and they wouldn't have time for God because they can't get time. They're so busy. Let me tell you, somebody else will drive the tractor. See that old van? Well, you think you're the master of it, aren't you? You're the one that turns the wheel, and boy, you make it all work, friend. What a fool. You know, you're gone, somebody else will drive the old thing. Because God has made a promise to you. God says, "I have an appointment for you to keep." Let me tell you, friend, you won't break the appointment with God. You won't. You might think that you're the controller. You might think you're the big fella. You might think, woman, that my, there's nobody can do without you. I can tell you, they will. Maybe a lot sooner than you think they will. Somebody else will take your place. Somebody else will plow the field. Somebody else will drive the tractor. Somebody else will sit at the desk. Somebody else will take over the firm. When God says, "Friend, it's appointment day. You know, I have an appointment for you this morning." What is it, God? The appointment of death. The promise. But friend, let me take it a step further. You've got a problem with that promise. And if you're unsaved, friend, let me tell you, you have a very big problem. I'm going to tell you something. You have a big problem. Because you don't know the day of your death. In Genesis chapter 27, there was an old man in the scriptures, and one day he gathered his family round him. And he looked at his sons, and this is what he said. He says, "Listen, I'm old. But he says, I know not the day of my death." And friend, let me tell you, there's the problem for the sinner. The problem for the sinner is this, that God has made an appointment, and you don't know when God has made it for. You make the appointment for the doctor, friend, and you know exactly when the appointment is. You make the appointment for the hospital, and they say to you, "Come on such and such a day. Come at such a time." Somebody says, "Where will you be tomorrow?" And you say, "Listen, no, I can't go there because I've got an appointment. Got an an appointment at work. I've got an appointment for a job. I've got an appointment for an interview. I've got an appointment for the doctor. Let me tell you, friend, God's made an appointment for you, and you don't know when God's going to make it or when God has set it for. You say to me, preacher, there's plenty of time to get right with God. There's plenty of time to call on the Lord. There's plenty of time to think of eternal things. Boy, sir, I'm only a young fella. You know what God says? Listen to it. Proverbs 27:1. God says, boast not thyself here or next year. Don't you boast about next year, friend, because you don't know what next year is going to bring. No, God didn't say that, friend. God says, don't boast yourself of tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Not even of tomorrow. God says, is there a man in this tent tonight that can boast that 24 hours from now they'll be upon this earth? God says, boast not. It's not the preacher.
I don't know when I'm going to go. I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know when God will call me, friend. Thank God. I'm ready to go. Boy said, the bag's packed. Waiting to go. There's a person in this meeting tonight and they know this. And the years of life are upon them. And they've had a good long life. And friend, I've heard that person say to me, preacher, many a night I just pull the curtains. And I just talk to my Lord and I say to my Lord, maybe tonight, Lord. Maybe tonight. Because friend, they're ready to go. Friend, maybe it is tonight. Young fella, maybe it is tonight. God says to you, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what is your life. It's only a vapor. It's only a vapor. It appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. What did the psalmist say?
Teach us to number our days, not our weeks, not our months, not our years. He says, teach us to number our days. Friend, that's even too long, because God says, don't even boast of another day. For thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. Two boys were standing in a field, I often think of them. Two friends, one was a king's son, and the other was a shepherd boy. And as they stood in the field there, and David believed that Saul the king was trying to take away his life, he felt as were death approaching. He realized that the king had so often tried to kill him before, but it was closing in. And here's two boys, two young lads, friend, two good friends. And my, what a friendship they had. And one turns, David turns to Jonathan. He says to him, Jonathan, there's but a step between me and death. That's how close it is. I feel that death's closing in, Jonathan. Your father's going to take my life. He's going to kill me. A friend, read the story again. David lived for a number of years after that. But soon after that, Jonathan died. See, the one that wasn't expecting it. He was the one that had to go. And maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, let me tell you, I have no thought of dying. Let me tell you, I never felt better. The old ticker's going well. Then let me tell you, it'll only take it to stop once. That's all it'll take. Only stop once and that'll be enough.
My, I feel as if I've got the rejuvenation of my youth. I could just jump over the mountains and the hills. I'm so full of life and zest.
You feel?
God didn't say you have to be sick today. Why do you need that? God didn't say you have to be sick, friend. God didn't say you have to be lying on a deathbed. God didn't say you have to lie in the hospital. God didn't say you have to have cancer. God didn't say you have to have a heart attack. But God did say that you can't boast of tomorrow. And there's men and women playing the fool with God, friend. And you've got to go and catch him out. Men that are boasting of tomorrow, let me tell you, friend, how quickly can all change, isn't it? It's amazing. You go up to Castle Derg when I was a member of Parliament for the old Mid Ulster. And I can take you to a home, friend, and I lift a wedding photograph. And in that wedding photograph, there are four young people. There's a young bride, and there's a young husband, and there's the bridegroom, or the best man, and the bridesmaid. Four young people, friend. I'll take you to that photograph today, and I'll show you that photograph, friend. And listen, the groom's dead. The bridesmaid's dead. And the best man's dead. Just the bride left. And they were taken away in the troubles of this province. Only one left.
Friend, let me tell you, you've got a problem. All things can change. There is but a step between you and death, let me tell you. You say, well, how long's that preacher? Let me tell you, friend. Take a wee baby. You watch the wee child. And it takes its first wee step. Tell me. Is it a big long one? Not at all, but it's a step. Take the young man. And my, he's full with zeal and vitality. And he takes that step. Yes, he stretches it out. Because he feels that makes him manly. Take the young woman. And she's so sedate in herself. And she takes a step. Oh, it's not big. It's sedate, it's short. You see, friend, there's no promise what length the step is. You don't know the day of your death. Not far from the tent, just a few days ago, friend, there was a dear man travelling down the road, but he never made it home. Why? Because God had an appointment. What about you? What about you, friend? Listen, the promise of death, the problem of death, you don't know when God's going to bring that promise into fruition and fulfillment. That brings me thirdly to the preparation for death. It's only a fool, friend, knows that he's going on a journey. And he doesn't know when the day that journey is going to begin. Doesn't know when God's going to call him. And yet he knows he needs to be ready. He knows he needs to have preparation made. The Holy Ghost says, prepare to meet thy God. And I want to tell you, friend, you'll never block that out. You may try to block it out of your heart tonight. You may try to block it out of your mind tonight. But I want to tell you this. The wise man makes preparation for a journey that he's got to take. What did Isaiah the prophet say to the king? He says, set your house in order. For thou shalt die and not live. Now I will ask you a very personal question, friend. Listen, is the house in order tonight? Is the house in order? Are you ready to go? Be honest. Don't be a coward, friend. Don't try to hide behind. Listen, you've got to die. We all must needs die. God will bring us to death. It is appointed unto man wants to die. Listen, what more has God to say to tell you about the reality and the promise? And you don't know when that day is going to come. You don't know the hour when God's going to call you and God's going to claim you. And God says, tonight,
tonight.
Is the preparation made? Is the house in order? Is it, friend? Be honest. Is the house in order?
All men have to die, friend, but all men don't die the same way.
Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, listen, it's time to go. Timothy, it's time for me to go.
He said, I fought a good fight. He says, I finished the course. He says, I've kept the faith. Hallelujah. Henceforth to me the crown. For Paul, when he died unashamed. Why? Because he was ready to go.
Remember wee Stephen. Remember young godly Stephen, friend. The boys, whenever they were even stoning him, they looked upon his face shone like an angel. And as the stones were raining down upon him, Stephen kneeled down on the ground and he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Stephen had to die, friend, but he died unafraid. He died unafraid. What did the psalmist say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Honestly, can you honestly say that? Can you honestly listen to my voice tonight, friend? Can you honestly say this before God, preacher? If God calls me tonight, glory to God, I'm ready to go. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, maybe you say, preacher, I don't want to leave my loved ones, but I'll tell you this. I want my loved ones to know that I'm not afraid to die. Old Dr. Keene lay dying, and in his last 3 days, it seemed that he was unable to pray in the strictest sense of the words, and he just gasped the words, blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. A friend was sitting by his side, and he turned to him and he said, Joseph, maybe you wonder I'm not praying at such a serious time at this. But he said, there's no unfinished business. There's no unfinished business because the bag's packed and ready to go. What did Amos the prophet say? He said, friend, prepare, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare. Oh, are you ready tonight? Young man, are you ready? D.L. Moody, the godly preacher, when it came to his day for God to call him, and he came to die, and he asked to be lifted up on the pillow, and he said this, he said, earth is receding, heaven is calling, and I must go. And then he smiled and he said, this is my coronation day, the crowning day to see Jesus. Friend, we all have to die, but not all die the same. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, was a man, was a rich man. In actual fact, he had got a problem. He had got too much to put into his barns, and he had enough of barns to put into it. God had blessed him. And he decided that he would pull down his barns, and he decided he would build greater. And then, like a fool, he said this. He says, I'll say to my soul, not to my body, but I'll say to my soul, you have much goods laid up for many years, just you take your ease, you just eat, you just drink, you just be merry. Just have a good time. And God said, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. Let me ask you, what if God says to you tonight, friend? What if God requires your soul tonight? Are you ready? Are you? You ready to go? The preparation made, friend. Saul was a king. And when Saul sinned away the days of opportunity that God gave him, and he came to the end of the journey and he cried out, he says, I played the fool.
I played the fool. I played with life. I played with opportunity. I played with God-given opportunity and the blessings that God has given me. And he looked back over his life, and instead of using the life that God had given him profitably and been ready to go, he cried out with regrets. The fool. I just played the fool. I've erred exceedingly. Are you ready tonight? It's a straight question. Young fella, I'm asking you a straight question. In God's name, in this old time gospel meeting, listen, are you ready to go? Now it's either yes or no. You're either ready or not. Mother, I say to you, in God's name, are you ready to go? Let me tell you this, the greatest blessing that you could leave your family behind if God was to call you is to leave a testimony of a godly mother. It does not matter what you leave, friend, as far as the bank account is concerned. It's whether you're saved or not. It's whether you're ready or not. It's whether you're prepared or not. Some years ago, not all that far from here, friend, it was a Sunday afternoon, I remember it well. A young fellow that I knew very well because I remember him from childhood days. A young fellow was coming home one night from duty. And the angel of death met him. He was murdered. He was taken away. He was buried on a Sunday afternoon. I remember standing after the church of that particular family, after the church service, and I remember walking to the car, and one of his relatives, one of his loved ones, followed after me and ran after me and caught me. And I can still remember turning around to see that person, and that person said to me, "William, tell me, where is he? Where is he?" Friend, the tears were running down that woman's face. Let me tell you, she wasn't joking. She wasn't putting on an act. She asked a very solemn question. She says, "William, where is he? Where is he?" Friend, let me tell you, I don't decide the destinies of men. That's between you and God. Thank God I can lead you to Christ. I have to honestly say that I never knew of that lad getting saved. And here I was with a loved one looking me straight in the face and the tears running down her cheeks, and she said to me, asked me a very solemn question. She said, "William, where is he?" And the answer I had honestly give was this: "I don't know. I don't know whether in the last moment that he had a time, an opportunity to call on God to save him. I don't know. But if he was saved, he'll be in heaven." And the woman grabbed my hand. She drove her nails into my hand, friend. And these are the words she said to me. She says, "William, if I thought he was in hell, I'd go mad." And I must be honest, friend, I thought that day, as she cried sore, I wondered, how many times did she cry over him when he was alive? How many times did she plead with him? How many times did she witness to him? How many times did she tell him his need of Jesus? But now the coffin was going down the street, carried on the shoulders of the family, taken to the last earthly resting place for the body. But remember this, friend, the soul was already gone. If I thought he was in hell, I would go mad. people listening to my voice tonight, friends, listen, and that's where you're going. God calls you tonight, you're going to hell. And friend, there's no way back, and there's no way. There's no second run at the escape. You see, you're on the journey. And you're just passing through this old world, and then one day God says, it's time to go.
You see, where will we go to, preacher? You go where you're ready for. If you're saved, thank God, you're ready for heaven. And if you're unsaved, you're ready for hell. If you rejected the Son of God, you'll never be in heaven.
For Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And God looked over the parapet of glory, and God said to that rich man, not because of his riches, but because, friend, he thought it could satisfy his soul. He didn't need God. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hadst much goods laid up for many years. And I'll say, take thine ease. And I'll say, eat. And I'll say, drink. And I'll say, be merry. Aye, and God says, and I'll say, this night. And God says, I'll say, thou fool. The promise of death. The problem of death. The preparation of death. Then listen, the parting of death. We've got to leave. And some of these days, even at its longest, friend, it's leaving time. You've got to go. The place you know now, it'll know you no more forever. See the wee home. Gotta go, friend. Last journey. See the stairs you climbed that you run up and down? You'll be carried the last journey. There's the parting of death. Friend, it's not only the parting of a family. It's a parting for eternity. What an awful thing if you die without Jesus. Forever lost. Let me tell you, I don't care who the preacher is. I don't care what he says at your funeral, friend. I don't care if you get some mealy mouth boy to stand over your grave and he'll drop, the undertaker will drop the soil in the top of your body. And friend, the preacher, with a collar turned round or whether he has no collar on at all, he'll turn and he'll say, dust thou art and unto dust thou shalt return in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection unto eternal life. And he'll make himself a liar.
Because for the unconverted, there is that sure and certain resurrection, but it's not a hope. It's sure and certain darkness. It's sure and certain hell. It's sure and certain crying and weeping and gnashing of the teeth for the ungodly. There's no hope in it.
The shutters of hope are forever pulled down, friend. And you take the journey from life to eternity. Goodbye to God. Goodbye. And friend, it's over. You've made your choice. You go to the place that you've chosen.
was the place you're ready for. And you're there forever. I wasn't long in this district. Man called me to his bedside one day. He was in the hospital. He didn't belong to the congregation, but he's a real loyalist. He loved this country. He sent for this preacher, and I remember going to his bed in the Middlesbrough Hospital. And I remember as I stood there, he called me over to the side and he said, "Listen, preacher, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you privately." And we pulled the curtains around and he said to me, "Listen," he says, "you know, I'm not feeling too good. And I want to make my will." I said to him, "Friend, I'm sorry, you've got the wrong person. I don't make wills. Because if anybody's left anything, they'll say, maybe he helped me to get something. And if they don't, they'll say he tried to keep me out of it. So friend, let me tell you, just make your own." He said, "I want to make my will." I said, "You know, that's the solicitor you need." I says, "But I want to be sure that I get things left to the persons I want." And I said, "Well, that's right, that's the solicitor." And I said, "Who is your solicitor?" And he said to me, "So-and-so was a solicitor." And I said, "Listen, well, I'll ring for him. I'll ring for him now." And I went to the hospital phone and I lifted the phone and I rang the solicitor. And the solicitor came straight up for him. Just ready for business. And the solicitor walked in and I walked out. Until the solicitor went away. And I walked back into the ward, friend. And this man has got cancer. And he's going out into God's eternity. And I remember well when the solicitor went out through the door. I remember coming to the bottom of his bed and looking him straight between the eyes. He was lying just straight in front of me. I said, "Friend, listen. Now you've got that settled." He says, "I have. Thank you." I said, "Tell me, why did you make your will?" "Well, just in case I go." I said, "Friend, can you answer me a question? Where are you going? Where are you going?" And I said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he lose his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" And friend, I could see a fellow's face changing. Because let me tell you this. Pain seemed to be wrecking the body. And he said to me, he said, "Listen, Mr. McRae," he said, "listen, I'm in awful pain at the present moment." He says, "I'll talk to you again." More concerned about a few wee things, friend, than about his soul. Is that you? You're more concerned about the wee games, the wee parties, the fun, the amusements, the pleasures, the possessions, the wee playthings that you have, friend. You're just dancing them along the stage of time, and you think that you're moving them along at your bidding. He says, "I'll talk to you again." I begged him to get right with God, and then I prayed with him. Friend, let me tell you, that night he passed away. God was giving him his last opportunity. God was giving him his last challenge. God was giving him his last call. And I remember the day of the funeral. His own minister wasn't available. Another minister came to take the service in the home. I was asked to preach the funeral service at the grave. And here's a man who professed, a minister who professed to be saved. And he asked me a question, standing at the side of the coffin. He said to me, "Tell me, how did he stand?" And I told that minister what I'm only after telling you, friend. Honestly, before God, I told him exactly what I told you. And then he looked at his watch. He says, "It's time to start the service." He went into the front room, and I was standing in the hallway. And after reading a few verses of Scripture,
This is what he said. He says, our brother has passed into the presence of his Savior. He has seen the Savior face to face. And I must be honest, friend, I felt like standing and shouting and saying, man, you're a liar. God forgive you for making yourself a liar. For you don't know the man's destiny. Listen, it'll not matter what they say over your grave. It'll not matter what the preacher says. Let me tell you, preachers talk a pile of rubbish. Tell you about how wonderful the person was and what they had done and this, that, and the other. Let me tell you, friend, God knows your record. I've often said, if I have to tell a family at a graveside how wonderful their father was and how much he loved them, listen, he mustn't have told them it. If I have to convince them. Too late then to convince. No matter what he says, then, it'll not change your destiny. For as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. And the preacher can send you to heaven with his false words, and God send you to hell for your sin.
It is appointed unto man once to die.
And after this, the judgment. You say, I've never met God. Don't worry. You'll meet him. Your sin will destroy you in the darkest, lowest hell. But there's a lovely Savior to save you. And his name's Jesus. Oh, won't you come to him? You say, how do I come? You come as you are. You come as a sinner. To Jesus the Savior. O Lamb of God. I come. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word this evening. We pray that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou wilt speak on to the hearts of those that are gathered here. Thou knowest those that are without Thee, sitting among the people of God, men and women, families sitting together, some saved and some not saved, some ready and some not ready. Friend, as we bow in God's presence, is your heart right with God? If God calls you tonight, are you ready to go? If God says this night, my soul shall be required of thee, mother, are you ready to go? Daddy, are you ready to go? Young person, are you ready to meet God? You're not in your sin, you know. You're not ready to meet Him. And yet meet God you will.